Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn in Hebrews to chapter 13. Today we will be reading verses 7 and 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. This is God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Have you known faithful Christian ministers? Have you known those who have lived for the Lord Jesus Christ, who have lived faithful, godly Christian lives? Who have died as faithful Christians in their passing, in their suffering, and in their death. And if you do know such men, then you understand the exhortation that's given here in chapter 13, verse 7, to remember them and to consider their lives and to imitate their faith. How did these men do what they did? How did they live godly lives? How did they face death as Christians? They faced it because they had faith in the one who does not change. They have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he does not change, and because he is the same, you also can put your faith in him and trust in him and live godly lives just as these men did. And so we find this exhortation here to follow them, to remember them. Remember your leaders, he says, those who spoke the word of God to you. What an amazing command. What a remembrance we're to have. Think about this for just a minute. Where are we in this letter to the Hebrews? We know that these folks are being tempted to turn their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they either have faced persecution or are about to face persecution, and some of them are wavering because they're not quite sure whether they ought to continue in the Christian faith. And there have apparently been some who have come to them and have basically said, return the way you came, go back to Judaism. You can have everything that these Christians talk about and not have persecution. And it's a real temptation. There are folks today that are facing that same type of temptation. There are people today who are being told, for example, in the Muslim world, that you can be a good Muslim and a secret Christian and not face persecution. And that's a lie. It was a lie told to these Hebrew Christians back then. It's a lie told to people today. There will be persecution. It's through many trials and tribulations that we enter the kingdom of God. And so we know that we are, of all people on the face of the earth, those who would stand for Christ no matter what it costs. And so these folks are being reminded of that. And what this letter tells us is that if they turn their backs on Christ, they end up with no salvation, they end up with no Savior, and they end up with no sacrifice. And so throughout the letter, we have seen that Jesus is better. Jesus is superior. He's better than angels. He's better than Moses. His blood is better than all of the blood of bulls and goats and rams and lambs ever shed on the face of the earth. And his covenant is a better covenant than the covenant of the Old Testament. That he is better in all things. Why would you go back? And so now in the last chapter of this letter, as the author is drawing things to a close, he reminds these Hebrew Christians, think about those who first preached the gospel to you. Think about your early leaders, those who brought the Christian faith to your area, those who established the church in which you now find yourself. Think about all of those men. Think about their lives. Think about how they lived. Think about how they died. Think about what they believed, what they trusted, and imitate their faith in the changeless one, Jesus Christ. And so these Christians are told, imitate, remember your leaders. the ones who first preached to you, who once spoke the word of God to you. These Christians knew those leaders well. They watched them go about preaching and teaching. They had seen them. They had watched and had seen something that we all ought to strive for. And that is, they had seen these early leaders who had first preached the gospel to them lead godly, consistent Christian lives. They had served the Lord Jesus Christ. They, as we say, practiced what they preached. They were not hypocrites. They didn't say one thing and then turn around and do something else. They didn't say one thing on Sunday and then on Tuesday live an entirely different type of life. They lived in accordance with what they preached, and they lived godly, consistent Christian lives. They were not like the cult leaders and some of the cult-like leaders that you can read of today. They are not like those cult leaders who are revered by their followers no matter what they say or how they live. They are not like those cult-like leaders who demand that their followers sacrifice while they themselves live in luxury. They are not like those cult leaders who teach man-made heresies in the place of truth and don't really care about it so long as it advances their power and their prestige. They are not like those cult leaders who promise their followers health and wealth and anything they want just so long as they happen to remember to give an offering to those cult leaders to prove their faith. They're not like this. They are godly men that these folks are to remember. And the one outstanding characteristic of these godly leaders that was demonstrated by both their words and their deeds was the genuineness of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were faithful ministers of the gospel. They discharged their duties as pastors with joy and not grudgingly. And in the face of fiery trials and temptations, they remained firm to the very end. Remember them. Consider the outcome of their life. They had lived godly Christian lives. These Hebrew Christians are exhorted to remember and to think carefully about the way that their leaders went about day by day living their lives. That word consider means look at again and again. Observe carefully. Pay close attention to. And so they're called upon to remember these things, to reflect upon these things, and to pay close attention to the way that these leaders walk, the way these leaders talk, the way these leaders live their lives day in and day out. They're to ponder how their leaders reacted to setbacks and adversity. Now, sometimes we have this idea that the early church was this glorious age in which everything was just so great. Read the New Testament. You discover that not only were the Christians facing persecution and tribulation from outside, but within the church there were problems. There never has been any time in the history of the world a perfect church on earth. That awaits heaven. That awaits the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every time in every age of history, there have been problems within and without. And these early church leaders faced those things. They faced setbacks. They faced adversity from those without and those within. How did they handle those things? Remember how your leaders dealt with opposition and with persecution. And think about how these early leaders, these men, showed joy when a lost sinner was led to the Lord Jesus Christ. Reflect on all of these things. Consider all of these things. And consider how they died. How they died and went home to be with Christ in glory. Now, we're not told here in this passage whether these leaders suffered martyrdom or whether they died in office. Either one could be true. Or it could be true that they worked there for a while and then they went on elsewhere to proclaim the gospel in regions where Christ was not known. But what we do know is that they had already died. And whether they died under severe persecution and a death of a martyr, or whether they died faithfully laboring and proclaiming the gospel and went to be with the Lord in the pulpit, we don't know. Whatever it was, there were results that came from the lives that they led. They had great faith in Christ, and so we're told, imitate that faith. Ponder the final results of the type of behavior that these leaders demonstrated up to the very end of their days. And take courage that if these men could cross the finish line believing in Christ and not turn back, that they too need not turn back from Christ, and you need not turn back from Christ. Remember, they're being told, give up on Christ, you can still have everything. And this letter says, no, you give up on Christ, you've got nothing. You give up on Christ, you've got no Savior. You've got no sacrifice. You've got no salvation. Don't give up on Christ. These men faced all kinds of things. They faced more than you have faced, and they finished well. They finished the race. They went home to be with Christ in glory, and you also can do exactly the same thing. Look at their lives. Remember their lives. Consider their lives. Imitate their faith. Think about your past leaders. Did their lives match their words? Did they remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ to the very end? Did they show growing godly character? If so, imitate their faith. Follow in their footsteps. Imitate their faith, it says. What's so outstanding about these men? Well, it was not that they had power. It's not that they had prestige. It's not that they were wealthy. It's not that they had earthly influence. It is their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we're told to imitate. They were called upon. You and I are called upon to imitate the faith of their leaders. And that doesn't mean just the quirks and the mannerisms, not their way of speaking or walking so much, but their faith. Paul told the Philippian Christians in Philippians 3:17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And so over and over again in the New Testament, we're told, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ, as I serve Christ, as I walk with Christ. Jesus tells us that every disciple, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. In Luke chapter 6, verse 40, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Now, the resemblance that Christ is talking about there is not merely outward. It is an inner resemblance of childlike faith in the Savior. All of us have, at one time or another, been taught by folks that have had an influence on our lives. When I was in college, the man that led me to the Lord was a Bible professor. And he had a rather unusual way of speaking. And so most of the boys would imitate him. And we would try to see who could actually sound like him the most. And we'd go, he would talk like this. And he had a very interesting way of drawing out his syllables. In fact, when he said God, it had about three syllables. So one day I was doing an impersonation of him in class. And I said, you know, I'm going to do this one day and look up and he's going to be standing there. And I looked up and there he was. So he walks to the front of the class and he begins to call the roll and he says, Mr. Jones, yeah, he's here. It's not just quirks. It's not just mannerisms. It's not just ways of speaking and talking. It's faith that we're to imitate. Oh, by the way, those of you that remember Haven told me one time, she said, you know, I don't have a beard, but I find myself stroking my beard just like you do. We do that. Sometimes we do that. What we're to imitate is what's within. We're to imitate the faith of faithful leaders. We're to imitate their faith so that we can also become examples for others to follow. You can be a godly example of a leader in Christ as well. Your life also should resemble the one whom you follow. And so you ought to also joyfully, faithfully live to the glory of God. And the way that you face death, assured of the resurrection that awaits you through the Lord Jesus Christ, will give courage and will give hope to others who watch you and who follow you. The way they lived, the way they died, flowed out of what they believed, and most especially the one whom they followed, and that's Jesus Christ. And look what it says here. He's the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Those who had preached the gospel to these Hebrew Christians did so by faith in the unchanging Lord Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday. He was the source and the object of this triumphant faith that these early leaders had when they brought the gospel to these Hebrew Christians. So if their leaders trusted in Jesus and they lived godly lives in the face of persecution and trial and opposition and temptation, then these Hebrews who are being tempted to turn back from Christ ought to remember that the Christ that their leaders believed in is the Christ who also they believe in. And if he sustained their leaders to the very end, then he can sustain them to the very end as well. And you too can remember that same Christ whom Matthew, the writer of the first gospel, knew, whom Paul proclaimed, who was loved by Augustine and Calvin and Spurgeon and on down to our day, faithful, godly men. The same Christ has always been the object and the sustainer of the faith of his people. He is the only Savior of sinners all down through history. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. He remains the same for the people of God. He is the all-sufficient, only Savior of these leaders of the Hebrews. He is the all-sufficient, only Savior of your first leaders. And he is the all-sufficient, only Savior for you today as well. This same Jesus that your grandfather and great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather may have believed in is the Jesus in whom you also are called to trust. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He remains the same Savior throughout all of time and into eternity. He does not change. He remains the one all-sufficient Savior of God's elect throughout all of history, throughout every portion of time and forever as well. That means that the Jesus who saved you is the same Jesus whom your great-great-great-great-grandchildren will one day believe in for salvation. Listen to Psalm 103. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. No matter what the trial, no matter what the temptation, no matter what the persecution, no matter what the pain, no matter what the difficulty you may face in your life, you can follow in the footsteps of those who have followed the only Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And you can know, what a wonderful blessing it is, you can know that what you have found in him also, your great, 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 great grandchildren will find through faith in the changeless and only Son of God, the only Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of all of God's elect throughout all of history to the very end and beyond. He remains the same Savior forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he has not changed. Thank you, Father, for the faith of our leaders that we can remember. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this long chain of believers who have trusted in the very same Lord Jesus Christ, down through history. Thank you for the promise to us, for our children and our grandchildren, and on for generations to come, that each one has exactly the same Savior held out to him or her. And Father, we pray for the faith of our children yet to come, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Father, bless them. We ask through Jesus, your Son, our Lord and our King. Amen.